producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, joined in studio with Anthony Gucciardi. We just took a phone call from a physician in Missouri, essentially verifying what you found, Anthony. When you were in Dallas, you came across medical professionals that were up there that were saying that they're hearing that there are a lot of people that are being diagnosed with Ebola that are just disappearing out of the system, and nobody's talking about it. And that's what he was saying. He had some firsthand knowledge of that happening in Missouri as well.
No, absolutely. And they ignore it, and they get calls from these doctors. These aren't just idiots. These are MDs that know how to diagnose Ebola. And as he was saying, they just claim it's malaria without actually doing a test, even though mm-hmm. we're in a potential pandemic zone right now, and then just qualify it. And they even sometimes will call the CDC and say, hey, we don't know if this is malaria. What should we do? And the CDC says, it's okay. Everything's fine. And then we have heard reports of people, especially on the border, being disappeared with Ebola-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. Someone comes in a van, oh, we're going to come treat you, takes them away. MDs don't hear anything. They have access to their medical records to see what happened, and they're not even in the records anymore.
And we've got a couple of breaking reports today on the news. Two sick passengers on flights from Liberia being monitored at Chicago hospitals, a similar situation in Newark. Now, we've seen this happen many times, and they come back and they say, well, never mind, they didn't have it. Of course, we don't have the person's name or anything. That's the very thing that the Washington Post was pushing back against that Liberian paper, saying that, well, they didn't get the guy's name, so the reports of him doing things with formaldehyde in people's water supply, that really doesn't apply. But, you know, how do you verify this? You know, how do you verify whether these people really didn't have it or whether they were just disappeared into the system?
Well, here's
it's very hard to do that.
You don't really need to verify the fact that we're facing a major threat when you think about the fact that these nurses are basically going in treating patients with trash bags on their heads.
Yes. Yeah,
and you don't have to really verify the fact that we're going to have an Ebola outbreak when we don't even screen until apparently now we are doing some minor screening. People with Ebola coming into the United States, or when we don't shut down travel to Ebola-infected countries where millions are going to have Ebola, you don't have to, you know, it's pretty safe to assume or infer, because to assume is bad. To infer is to use evidence to reach a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
I'm going to infer that shipping people in with Ebola into the United States so we're tolerant enough to spread Ebola into the United States, into U.S. citizens, is going to lead to some type of outbreak.
And well, we're also shipping thousands of soldiers in without protective equipment, without really any training. They get 4 hours of training and everything. But they're going to be fine because they're not going to be in direct contact with anyone, we're told. How do you control that when you go into the hot zone? Let's go to some of our callers who've been waiting for a long time. We got Earl in Florida. You wanted to call in with your take on Ebola. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Anthony? I'm a long-time listener of Alex's show. I was just kind of curious. Everyone, you know, every time I go on the Internet or, you know, look around on TV, everyone seems to be sensationalizing the Ebola thing. What I'm curious to know is how come nobody has gone into the realm of testing certain things, certain ways, certain products, like the UV, like the ultraviolet machine they use to clear up, mm-hmm. you know, emergency rooms. Why can't they put someone on dialysis and run a long tubing system going through it and subject the blood to the ultraviolet to see what happens? How about some colloidal silver tests with patients that already have it?
And you're 100% right. No, that's the exact same question I'm asking. You're asking, why aren't they looking at the research from Harvard in 2010, from the National Cancer Institute in Maryland in 2003, where say, hey, there's ways to inhibit Ebola. The mice are completely immune to Ebola when they're given proper amounts of mannose-binding lectins. Or, hey, look at colloidal silver. Let's look at all these things. Let's not go out and immediately say it cures everything, but let's look at it. Instead, they're ignoring it completely. And as David was saying over the break, they're just saying you're either going to get Ebola and die or you're not. It's just a magic thing that's going going to happen, and we can't protect ourselves in any way, and our immune systems don't exist. So we should just listen to the government and fly over. We should go to Liberia.
That's right.
We should go to Liberia with a trash bag on our head and run around and say, we won't get it. It'll be okay.
It's Russian roulette. And so the question is, are you going to play Russian roulette with one bullet in the chamber, or are you going to play it with six bullets in the chamber? That's the question. Thanks. We're going to be right back after the break. We're going to talk about Ebola with Francis Boyle at the bottom of the hour. He's someone who knows intimately about bio.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, October 15th, 2014, gold opened at $1,246.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,292.55, $646.27 for a half ounce, or $323.14 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,292.55, $646.27, and $323.14.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
The experts are clear. Sunlight, purified water, healthy non-GMO food, and having a good attitude is essential to a healthy immune system. But I go further with Super Nascent Iodine X2 from InfoWarsLife.com. 50% stronger than our original and revolutionary Nascent Iodine formula, coming from a deep earth crystal source that no other supplier has. Most other forms of iodine come from seaweed in areas plagued by Fukushima and other contaminants. Not our iodine. It comes from over 200 million year old crystal salt deposits and is tested and proven to be completely pure. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today. See the informational videos, read the information there compiled, and for a limited time, when you use promo code NOW at checkout, you get an additional 5% off the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products. Secure your Survival Shield X2 today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We just had Anthony Gucciardi here talking about health issues. And, of course, he was talking about a 10-year-old study out of Harvard talking about how the mechanisms, the compounds that they were seeing, analyzing to that they noticed that certain people had an immunity, not only against Ebola, but against a wide range of viruses. What's going on with that? Why aren't we hearing more about that research? That's what one of our callers was asking us. He said, we don't hear about that. We don't hear about the ultraviolet machine that goes in. I think it's like 25,000 times the intensity of regular sunlight. They put it into a room, turn it on for like 5 minutes on either side of the bed, and it basically kills all germs, all viruses, because, you know, it's not just Ebola. That's not the major killer at this point. Everybody's concerned about it because it has been spreading so rapidly throughout Africa. This is a different strain, by the way, of Ebola than they've ever seen before. In all the previous outbreaks, all of them combined, they've had 2,400 people come down with it. We're approaching 10,000. It's about 9,700 now at this point, last I saw a couple of days ago. So we're already in this one outbreak, four times as many as we've seen in the last couple of decades of Ebola. So this is a different strain, and we're going to be talking at the bottom of the hour to Francis Boyle. He's someone who knows a great deal about bioweapons and about the bioweapon labs that are in that part of Africa. He has some interesting questions about what's going on there. But, you know, there's also a question, we raised this as well in an article I wrote on Infowars.com, and, of course, we were attacked for asking the rhetorical question, if convalescent serum is not an effective treatment, then why is the U.S. military and pharmaceutical companies and big tobacco, why are they spending millions of dollars and waiting months to roll out a synthetic imitation of that? The WHO and the CDC says, well, it's unproven. No, actually, they've had a lot of success with that, going back with a lot of different diseases. Diphtheria was the first one. I had someone win the Nobel Prize, a German scientist, back in 1901 for using that. This is something that's been around for about 125 years. It's very well known. We've seen that the people who have received blood transfusions from Kent Brantley have largely recovered. We've now got news that Nina Pham, who's the most recent one to get it, is improving rapidly. And the NBC cameraman who received blood from Kent Brantley has now been said that he is recovered, that there's no sign of Ebola in his blood. So why don't we see those things being covered? Well, of course, there's a money trail involved in that. But if you point that out, if you point out that pharmaceutical companies and have done this in the past with things like medical marijuana being prohibited, yet their synthetic versions of it are allowed and sold, we see this over and over again. But if we point that out, we're simply conspiracy theorists. But I wanted to take a couple more calls because, you know, as we see these things not being done, we don't see the UV machines being sent with the troops going in. We had a caller here, Ironhead in Washington. He wanted to talk about the 5,000 troops that are being sent in. Of course, they're not getting the upgraded protection suits. They're not getting any instructions, really. They're getting like 4 hours of instructions and some face masks and gloves. That is not what the CDC says is safe. They've upped the protocol, including respirators, just this last Monday. So they're walking back their comments saying, oh, don't worry about that. You don't need to have anything other than just a face mask. Ironhead, what did you want to say about the troops that are being injected into the Ebola outbreak in Liberia?
Well, you just hit it right on the head there. Footnote, do you remember Dr. Mary's monkey, Ed Haslam, and what he showed us with the SV40 cancer virus being basically introduced to the entire smallpox vaccination? Personally, I think what's possibly potentially coming down is the exact same scenario. You put 5,000 troops over there, they become a vector metric to bring that back in and, you know, spread it throughout, first of all, the military, and then throughout the civilian population.
Yes, absolutely. And Dr. Francis Boyle, that we're going to have at the bottom of the hour, raised that exact question. He said, why are we sending in this unit that is known for being a special ops unit, and yet they don't have any specific medical skills that they're doing here? I mean, do we need to send that kind of a combat unit, an elite combat unit, into that area in order to build buildings? How do we keep them secure? Can't they get contractors to go into that area? I mean, that's the concern that everybody has about that. And again, as I said, we're going to be talking to him at the bottom of the hour. I'm anxious to get his comments on that. I want to move from Ebola now to the shooting that happened this morning in Canada. We've got a couple of Canadian callers who've been on hold, and I'd like to get an update on that information. Eric in Canada, you wanted to talk about the Ottawa shooting?
Yes. I've been in the military for a year now, right? And I've been concerned about, like, what do you think is the safety on our troops? And also, do you think this could also be a good excuse for them to get rid of the guns? And I'd like to see what you guys can say on that.
To get rid of the guns? Well, you've already got pretty heavy gun control there, don't you? It's kind of like Connecticut, where they had a lot of gun control, but it didn't stop the school from getting shot up. I mean, what do you make of the idea that this could happen at the Parliament building? I mean, obviously they would have some armed guards at the Parliament building, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you'd think so. I've remember seeing an article a couple years ago saying that they had no security, but I think it was like in 2006 they decided to enhances security with MP5 submachine guns and the C9 rifles.
Hmm.
But as far as I'm concerned, I think, gun control simply doesn't work. Like, if you can see, in a place that has heightened gun control, gets more chaos like this, anything can happen, right?
Well, you know, what you can see is that even with all the Secret Service agents around Obama, they can't protect him from somebody just running across the White House lawn and into the White House. We see now the same thing happening in Parliament. Are you hearing anything on the news about this being an organized terrorist event? Last I heard, they had killed one gunman, but there was at least one more that was still at large.
I haven't heard anything about that, but I'm thinking it might be a strain of copycats because of what happened a couple days ago here in Quebec. There was a, I bet you're aware of it, the a guy in a car who ran over a couple soldiers.
All right. Yes, and they were talking about that. So they said, yeah, they thought it might be some kind of a terrorist-related event based on that. Thanks, Eric. Let's go to Ron in Canada. Ron, do you have any information about the shooting in Canada?
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Okay. Yeah, I do, actually. What you were just mentioning, there is another suspect at large, from what I hear on TV.
Are they saying just one? one or more than one?
Supposed to be a third event that happened somewhere else, and then they took it back and said no, that didn't happen. Then the lockdown was lifted at that place, so I don't know if there is a third. But I do want to say a few things about what I think this is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
go ahead. Sure.
Basically, I think this is ISIS. One of the CBC mentioned that a couple of days ago there was increased activity on Twitter about some of these Syrian jihadis. Going out, calling for attacks against the Canadian government, So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, isn't it, that we just keep arming them, whether it's intentional or whether it is accidentally, and we just dropped a load of weapons by parachute to supposedly help their opponents, the Kurds, and then we see on social media that ISIS brags about the fact that all of those weapons basically fell into their hands. We've seen this for a long time. We've been telling people going back years that our government is arming and training al-Qaeda. We've been telling people that ISIS and the terrorists that were in Syria were actually not good guys, and yet our government was arming them and training them to fight the Syrian government. So now we have ISIS, and I'm sure that there will be people, you know, it's not just a false flag. I mean, even if our government identifies radical people in other countries and arms and equips them, that doesn't mean that they aren't going to then use those things domestically against us, of course. Those people are crazy, and it only makes it more dangerous when our government gives them arms and trains them. What's your take on that?
You're exactly right. Well, I knew about that, and, you know, what I thought about it was ridiculous. Arming these, NSA, or what were the Free Syrian Army, the FSA, to go ahead and, you know, to try to take out Assad's forces. Apparently, I heard that the FSA wasn't able to take out Assad, and that it only took, like, a small handful of ISIS fighters to take out Assad's government. Like, it's ridiculous. I just want to say one more thing before you go, because I know you got a lot of callers you want to get to. Basically, I want to figure out, I know all this is going to come out in detail. I want to know what kind of gun this guy was using, where it was made, what his name was, who is he. I want to know all the identities of these people. And I just have a bad feeling that these guys are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in Canada. There's a lot of mosques around here. I went to a mosque the other day. I was looking at some of these characters, and man, they looked pretty shady. Like, a lot of these guys had hoods on their heads and everything. And in Canada, we accept the Muslim religion as, you know, it's a multicultural country, and we just let everybody operate, you know, with impunity because we allow everyone to do what they basically want to do.
If we have completely open borders, we don't know if convicted criminals are coming into our country. We don't know if we've got terrorists coming into our country. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Chance in Canada. Chance, do you have any information about the Canadian incident today or any comments about it? Go ahead.
Hi, David Knight. You're doing a great job of filling in for Alex Jones. I'm a First Planet member and longtime, almost 10-year listener. I don't have any direct information on what's happening immediately. Like, I'm not there, but I am seeing the reactions from Canadians on call-in shows, like our 640 you know, your local talk show, and they're basically everyone is doing exactly what happened after 9/11. They're all saying we need to give up our liberties to be able to put on restrictions on these people to be able to stop ISIS. And nobody's seeing that this is exactly what Alex Jones has been warning about, what people like yourself and what myself have been doing, warning people on the internet, talking about the attacks coming up. And it was no surprise to me that this happened today, and I'm completely not surprised by the reaction of the Canadian people.
That's the way they always roll it out. Whether it's real or a false flag, they're going to use that crisis to take your civil liberties. They're going to try to scare you about the other person, this mysterious person. Who knows? I mean, we've been told that there were 300 people in...
It's already too late. Criminals have kicked in your door and are now in your home. Before this happens, homeowners have a choice. One, do nothing and hope you aren't one of the 1.4 million families attacked each year. Or two, refuse to be a victim. And for as low as $59, reinforce your doors with Door Devils. Door Devils simply attach to existing door frames and have proven to stop the biggest bad guys from kicking in doors. Read our police testimonials of real-life events at DoorDevil.com. Alarms don't stop kick-ins. We do. DoorDevil.com.
With all the chaos in the news today about riots, financial bubbles, and pandemics, the time is now to stock up on your survival kits, emergency food, and water purification systems at endtimeswarehouse.com. Go there now and save big on nascent iodine, which usually sells for $29.99, now only $24.99. Find everything you need to be prepared at endtimeswarehouse.com. Preparedness for the end times or anytime. EndTimesWarehouse.com.
The experts are clear. Sunlight, purified water, healthy non-GMO food, and having a good attitude is essential to a healthy immune system. But I go further with Super Nascent Iodine X2 from InfoWarsLive.com. 50% stronger than our original and revolutionary Nascent Iodine formula, coming from a deep earth crystal source that no other supplier has. Most other forms of iodine come from seaweed in areas plagued by Fukushima and other contaminants. Not our iodine. It comes from over 200 million year old crystal salt deposits and is tested and proven to be completely pure. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today. See the informational videos. Read the information there compiled. And for a limited time, when you use promo code NOW at checkout, you get an additional 5% off the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products. Secure your Survival Shield X2 today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The Alex Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're going to be joined in the next segment with Francis Boyle, an expert on bioterrorism, and he's going to talk to us about some weird things going on in Africa around the Ebola outbreak. Now, in the last segment, we were just talking to some callers from Canada, and one of the callers said all the people that he's hearing on talk radio there, they're all being scared about ISIS, and they're willing to give up their civil liberties. I would just remind you that it wasn't that long ago, it was just a few weeks ago, that we had the candidate for Senate, Scott Brown, in New Hampshire, saying that he thought that we ought to take the citizenship away of anybody that we accuse of being on ISIS's side in Syria. Of course, that's really easy to just move from there to just accusing somebody with being with ISIS and taking away their rights or their citizenship here, because then that makes it a little bit more easier to deny their other due process. And of course, we were told that we've heard that there's up to 300 Americans who are fighting with ISIS, and if we take away their citizenship, they won't be able to get back in the country. Really? Do you need citizenship or permission to get into this country through our open borders? That's nonsense. Besides, the FBI then came in and said, no, it's probably more like about 12. But we had Ted Cruz jump on that bandwagon, too. We don't want to give up our liberties by being scared into this ISIS thing. Remember that it was our government who funded and trained these people, who set them up in a way to that they could then have a justification to go back into Syria, which is what they've been trying to do for 2 years. Let's not get scared into this. But speaking of Scott Brown, the centerfold senator, as he was using that ridiculous analogy, saying we need to just be able to arbitrarily strip them of their citizenship to keep them from coming back into the country. Listen to what his opponent had to say in that race.
Do you approve of the job President Obama is doing? Now, there'll be a chance to follow up, but this is a yes or no answer. Do you approve, yes or no?
In some ways, I approve. In some things, I don't approve.
Like
most questions that we deal with as policymakers, there aren't simple answers.
Yeah, she was for him before she was against him, but maybe she's not. You know, we're seeing over and over again how the Republicans and the Democrats are really the fringe candidates. Look at the situation in Florida. We've got a Libertarian running there, Adrian Wiley. He's really a serious candidate, unlike Charlie Crist and Donald Scott. The only thing serious about them is that the media is taking them seriously. He's polling, the Libertarian candidate, third-party candidate, is polling around 10% in the polls, and yet, of course, they won't let him in the debates. We see that over and over again. That's a reminder that we are going to be doing an election coverage here as part of the InfoWars Nightly News. Now, if you're not a subscriber, please consider subscribing. It's one way that you can support our operation. You can share it with other people. You can see Alex's documentaries. But we're going to have a special election coverage the night before the election, the Monday night before the election. We're going to have live coverage for a couple of hours for our subscribers, and we're also going to have about a four-hour live coverage on election night. And we're not going to be just covering the horse race aspects of it or the Republican versus Democrat aspect of it. We're also going to look at some of the issues. You know, they're going to be looking at whether or not they're going to get rid of the income tax in Tennessee. That's going to be interesting. We're going to be looking at some ballot initiatives for a lot of different things. So we're going to be looking at the freedom aspect of things, not just the left-right paradigm. And the serious candidates that we see over and over again, there's a lot of people who are giving a serious look to people outside the Republicans and Democrats. They keep voting for the same thing and getting the same results. They're looking for something different. I think it's very interesting that this guy in Florida is talking about essentially ending property taxes for people who live in their home and adjusting the tax burden around sharing, doing revenue sharing with the state and the county, but also basically cutting back government. Have you seen even the Republicans cutting back government? No. You can go back just a few years and you can get rid of something like the property tax for people who are living in their homes. It's also interesting the way some of this is coming into play. And he's at 10% in the polls, and that's going to be a tight race in Florida. So, you know, he could basically throw that into a runoff. We see the same thing happening in Chicago. An interesting thing there is that a union has already donated $30,000 to the Libertarian candidate, and it looks like they're going to give them six figures in that state. So there's some interesting dynamics here, but it really is fundamentally about where people are going to fall on the freedom spectrum. It's not a left-right thing. If you think it's a left-right thing, you really need to look up the Nolan chart. Search that on Google. That gives you a much better picture of where people are on a spectrum. It's not just left or right, as Ronald Reagan said, it's up or down. Are we going to go down towards authoritarianism, towards taking away our freedoms? Are we going to move up towards liberty, to greater freedom? Are we going to have people that are really going to move against the NSA? That's something we're going to be covering in our special election report. And look at our newsletter. We've got a new newsletter launch. It's unique content. You can sign up for it in the upper right-hand corner of our website. It's a way that you can stay abreast of breaking.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The experts are clear. Sunlight, purified water, healthy non-GMO food, and having a good attitude is essential to a healthy immune system. But I go further with Super Nascent Iodine X2 from InfoWarsLive.com. 50% stronger than our original and revolutionary Nascent Iodine formula, coming from a deep earth crystal source that no other supplier has. Most other forms of iodine come from seaweed in areas plagued by Fukushima and other contaminants. Not our iodine. It comes from over 200 million year old crystal salt deposits and is tested and proven to be completely pure. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today. See the informational videos, read the information they're compiled, and for a limited time, when you use promo code NOW at checkout, you get an additional 5% off the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products. Secure your Survival Shield X2 today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Ide in studio, and we've been talking about this shooting in the Canadian Parliament. Alex Jones is on the line, and he wanted to comment on this. Alex?
Absolutely, David. I've been here at the home office getting ready for some big stories. We're about to break. Also, I'll be on Coast to Coast AM tonight for several hours with George Norrie on over 500 radio stations nationwide. So I'll have all the latest intel this evening, midnight Central, 1 a.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m., of course, Mountain. So that's all coming up as well on Coast to Coast AM. With George Norrie tonight, I'll be co-hosting or a guest for several hour with George. When I saw Paul Watson's article this morning on that, my heart just sunk. And then when I saw the police come out and say to everybody that social media was somehow bad and people shouldn't communicate about what was happening, it really reminded me of what unfolded, oh, many, many years ago, back with the 7/7 bombings in London that were clearly a false flag, where bare minimum they had patsies with backpack bombs that were set up as part of a drill. We later confirmed that. And then it turned out the MI6 agent, who was the leader of the group, was protected and was basically Al-Qaeda, what we call ISIS today. So just like criminal elements of Western governments are funding radical Islamists, I would say they're the prime suspect in this. We're probably allowed to do it. If they aren't, and they claim it's some right-wing patriot group or French separatist group, you can believe it's a setup. And the way they're saying don't share social media, don't take photos, don't document what's happening, to me is the big tip-off. Because in old-fashioned police work, the people are the eyes and the ears. And cops, when they're doing real investigations, use social media and use the public and use the human open source intelligence to find out what's happening. So I would call somebody like David Steele or Steve Pachenik. I'll be back tomorrow live. You're doing a great job. Not filling in, but hosting the show, David. Doing an amazing job with the whole crew there and Anthony Gucciardi and just everybody that's coming in. But here's the takeaway from the story in Canada. It might be real because they're not hyping it super big right now. Because when something stays, they're really hyping the life out of it. Have a narrative very quickly. Now, it could be some type of threat from Saudi Arabia that the West better get in line or they'll unleash real terror teams. Or it could be staged, or it could be some sleeper cells that have been activated by ISIS because they're being double-crossed by the West right now because they got out of control. Quite frankly, things are so complex right now, I don't think we know exactly what's happening. But it's a very bad sign that the police are trying to restrict media, independent media, and social media, and implying it's connected to mass shootings and terrorism. It's all part of this where we see protesters attacking police. They don't arrest them. They attack Kari Jackson and Joe Biggs and Al Jazeera. So it's part of that dangerous pattern. I'm looking at all the intel right now, studying it all day. Kit Daniels has an article going up in the next few minutes on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And we will be focused like a laser beam with our whole investigative team. Joe Biggs has filed a video report. It'll be up on Infowars.com very soon. Leanne McAdoo, Jakari Jackson, John Bound, Don Salazar, of course, Mikhail Thalen, Anthony Gucciardi, Kurt Nemo, and just so many others I haven't listed or named here are ferreting out every point. But here's what's most important. QMET, human intelligence. You are huge listeners in Toronto, in Ottawa, in New York, in Rochester. We need citizen reporters to be on the ground tracking everything because they don't want that. And if they didn't have something to hide or they weren't trying to manage a narrative, the police wouldn't be aiming guns at innocent reporters and at terrorist people. And the fact that they haven't caught one of these guys still, very, very suspicious. So hit the ground, folks. Get out there. You are the resistance. Find out what's happened. But let's just be with a camera on the ground. Go through the video footage from the mainstream media. Pour over their statements. Record all their press conferences. Track everything, just like they caught the underwear bomb being put on the plane, and it was confirmed in Congress 2 months after we broke it, or a month and a half. Just like we exposed 7/7, just like we exposed the Boston bombing, just like we exposed New Haven with the blue screens and all the fake actors. We are going to find out what happens here. But if it is real Islamist, which it could be, in fact, I've looked at the numbers. Everything that they claim is right-wing is fake. If they claim it's French separatists, you can believe it's fake. It's a $2 or a $3 bill. $2 bills, I guess, they're real but rare. If they go with a narrative that it's ISIS, though, and say, now we got to have boots on the ground, that could be a false flag move as well. But then they're going to say, well, why is Canada so open to the Middle East? Why is the U.S. so open? So we don't know. But I've been predicting hundreds of times Islamist, Al-Qaeda-affiliated mass shootings at capital, shopping malls, colleges, and public schools because they want to put TSA on the streets and checkpoints randomly on the streets and martial law, basically, but never control the border. believe. But if you're a U.S. citizen, they treat you like trash. I've experienced it. So we're looking at every angle. We're throwing out the points. David Knight, the rest of the team are on the job right now. They are on the job taking action. And this is just par for the course. That, and of all the takeaways I've laid out here, here's the final. Government, whether it's Sandy hitting the West Coast or the East Coast, whether it's Katrina hitting the Gulf, or whether it's Ebola, whatever it is, government can't and won't help you. So all this police state, all these laws of liberty, all the spying, all the checkpoints, all the trillions, all the wars, and Al-Qaeda and ISIS are bigger than ever. We've lost more freedoms than ever. And the government's saying, give up more liberties, you'll be protected. It is totally and completely bogus. I'm going to throw it back to David Knight, hosting InfoWars Worldwide. And I'll be back with special reports on InfoWars.com, the nightly news tonight with the rest of the team, and George Story, Coast to Coast AM. I was already going on a show tonight. You can read it on coasttocoastam.com. I was already going on tonight about ISIS and what's really behind it and terrorism looming in the United States and more. So we'll be covering all that tonight on Coast to Coast AM. All right. God bless you, gentlemen and ladies. Let's continue on with the human analysis of our host and listeners.
Thank you, Alex. That is Alex Jones on the line. And, of course, the article he is talking about, censorship, RCMP asked the public not to post photos or videos of the Ottawa shooting. That's up on InfoWars.com. That's Kit Daniels got a story there with a tweet and analysis. Now, on the line, we have with us Professor Francis Boyle. Dr. Boyle is a leading American expert in international law. He's responsible for drafting the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, the American Implementing Legislation for the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention, and he's the author of a lot of books. But the one that we're interested in today is Biowarfare and Terrorism. We have him on the line, and welcome, Dr. Boyle.
Well, thank you, David, and my best to your viewing audience.
Thank you. Thank you for waiting. We had that breaking news that's very important that's going on there. But I wanted to ask you about the bioweapons labs that are in these African countries, because you know very well what's going on with the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act that you drafted there. Why are they putting these labs in those countries?
Well, it's very simple in try to circumvent the Biological Weapons Convention and my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989 that provides for life in prison. We have a BSL-4 in Guinea. We have one at the capital there, one in Liberia, Monrovia, and another one at Kenema in Sierra Leone. And they all do this dual-use, offensive, defensive, biological warfare work. Guinea is never been a party to the Biological Weapons Convention. Liberia has never been a party. Sierra Leone is a party, but, you know, given the disturbances over there, I'm sure no one's been paying attention to what's been going on in these labs. However, I will point out, I drafted the my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act to make it extraterritorial by name, in hague verba, so that these illegal criminal types of biowarfare work done in these labs by U.S. citizens can be prosecuted.
That's interesting. Now, as you pointed out, the CDC is there, Tulane University. Anybody knows about the notorious Tuskegee test that ran for decades on black people with syphilis, not telling them that, not giving them treatment and just watching this develop for decades. Tulane University is there, as well as the CDC. So what is your take on this? Do you think this is something that was perhaps accidentally leaked out? Is this deliberate? Because it's interesting that this is a different strain, and it is thousands of miles away from where these are typically happening in Central Africa. This is now over in Western Africa. They want to say that it transmitted by passing through animals. I mean, why didn't we have any outbreaks in between those two different areas?
That's right. The standard explanation is completely nonsensical. I have here in front of me the Biological Defense Research Program of 1988, page appendix 3-4, clearly says that the Center for Disease Control has been doing biological warfare work in Sierra Leone since 1988. And also Columbia University was doing biological warfare work in Liberia. And as I said, Liberia has never been a party to the BWC. Of course, this bat theory makes no sense at all.
Right.
It's clear that, in my opinion, the agent we're dealing with here of Ebola is 70% fatality, whereas all previous Ebola outbreaks had been 50%. And also, it appears that it has perhaps somehow been genetically modified to make it airborne to some extent. I recently sent to your assistant there a press release. The National Institutes of Health mated live Ebola with the virus for the common cold. And
wow.
It very well might have been this type of vaccine that they were testing out over there at these BSL-4 facilities. We know that the Sierra Leone government shut down Kenema and accusing them of starting the pandemic with shots under the supervision of Tulane. And we know for a fact Tulane has been involved in biowarfare work for quite some time. We also know that Fort Detrick is over there. The Center for Disease Control is over there. These three labs were set up by USAID, which is a front organization for the CIA. So I think it's pretty clear these three labs, I suspect, were the origins of this pandemic, which has now come here to the United States. The CDC just said 21-day quarantine, but the WHO recommends 42-day quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And even the 42-day quarantine only gets 98% of the people. My guess is, we should really be talking about 50 days or more quarantine. And the question then is, why did they allow the 4,000 people on that cruise ship off? And according to yesterday's New York Times, there's no monitoring on any of them. Every other contact going back to Mr. Duncan is somehow being traced, contacted, quarantined, whatever. But the 4,000 people on that ship, no. And they could have easily just quarantined everyone on the ship right there. So I don't know exactly what to say about this, but it doesn't look good.
Well, we saw that in Nigeria. They've gone now the 42 days, and they haven't had another outbreak there. But they went through contact tracing. They had 900 people that they were looking at based on one person who flew into their country on an airplane, was very sick, 20 people caught it. 8 people died, and they had 900 people that they were looking at. We haven't seen anything like that. As you pointed out, we've got a situation where you've got this new strain of Ebola that they've never seen before that travels from an area where they've typically had it in Central Africa, 1,000 to 2,000 miles, and they want to tell us that it's been traveled, got there by bats. I mean, that's just not, that's not very credible, is it?
Well, even the New York Times reported that in 1976, that when Ebola was first discovered, the World Health Organization ordered it to be sent to Porton Down in the UK. That's mm-hmm. their equivalent of Fort Detrick.
Mm-hmm.
So you can figure out what happened with it from there. And Sierra Leone is a former colony of Britain. Liberia has always functioned as a de facto colony of America. And now we see U.S. troops in Liberia, British troops in Sierra Leone, and France, the former colonial power in Guinea sending troops in there.
You're talking about them finding it, isolating it, and then immediately sending it back to their equivalent of Fort Detrick in the U.K. It's very much like the movie Aliens. You know, that one guy finds that alien and he says, you know, don't kill it. I got to get it back to the military-industrial complex. That's what they do. There was an article that came out today I think is very interesting. As we look at this, this is a new strain. They were talking about it being a new strain that was first identified, first broke out in April. And if you look at all the previous outbreaks, it's about 2,500 people. It's 2,478. I totaled it up. Already in this one, we've had about 9,700 people. So that's about four times all the previous outbreaks combined. This is a new strain. It looks like it's a weaponized strain. You're talking about them bringing something back and working on it. We just have a report that came out last Friday, basically kind of buried in the Friday news cycle. This is from the New York Times, and we haven't seen very much reporting about this. The White House said they were going to cut funding for risky biological studies. Now, this is them saying that they're not going to do any more weaponizing. What do you make of that?
Well, that's the smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
Next Friday in the New York Times. You see, they de facto admitted that this is exactly what they were doing at those BSL-4 labs, in the three BSL-4 labs in West Africa. And they're basically sort of retroactively trying to cover their rear ends there.
Yes.
But I think that statement that came out Friday is a pretty good indication that they know that those three labs and other researchers here in America, like Tulane, CDC, National Institutes of Health, Galveston down there, University of Texas, have been up to their eyeballs in this, I would only know what to say, weaponization of Ebola. It does not appear it is as contagious as the flu, but it looks like it could be as contagious as the common cold, which is what the National Institutes of Health has been working on now for quite some time. So it could be that they ship that agent over there, put it into some type of vaccine, and then tested it out on these people.
Yeah, and you know, we should always remember that the influenza epidemic right at the end of World War I that killed 21 million people, that was from soldiers returning, bringing back that epidemic to their country. Now, we've put 5,000 soldiers into the heart of the heaviest outbreak of Ebola, not with much training, not with basically any effective equipment to protect them. We're putting them at risk. That, to me, is a huge deal. But going back to this New York Times thing.
We know for a fact that this Dr. Mengele professor at the University of Wisconsin resurrected the Spanish flu virus, brought it back to life, on behalf of the Pentagon. We know that for a fact. We also know that the same Dr. Mengele at the University of Wisconsin genetically engineered Ebola to make it more dangerous. And we also know this same Dr. Mengele at the University of Wisconsin does GMO flu work, which with H5N1 and some of the others.
And that's exactly what they're saying they're stopping. They're only saying that they're stopping not Ebola research. They're not mentioning that. They say the moratorium is only on research on the influenza virus and the coronaviruses that cause SARS and MERS. It made no mention of Ebola or any related filovirus. Ebola is already extremely lethal, they say, but it's not easily transmissible. That's the New York Times take on that.
So, in other words, they've admitted they were doing it.
Yes.
And then, second, the word Ebola wasn't in there, because if they had put Ebola in there on the list, everyone would have said, well, what were they really doing with Ebola, right? And that's why Ebola is not on the list. It should be on the list. But
yes,
they're not going to say that, because everyone would then ask the next question. Sure, it was censored out of there, but we know they have done that type of Dr. Mengele biowarfare work with Ebola, as well as those other agents, which they admitted they were doing as recently as last Friday.
Now, in this press release that you sent to us, you talked about it being GMO'd into a flu Ebola. And they do actually mention in the New York Times what you just talked about, the H5N1 avian influenza. They say that opponents of this type of research. And listen to this. The euphemism that you probably know this. We're talking to Dr. Francis Boyle, who wrote treaties against bioweapon research in 1989 and 1972. So I'm sure you've heard them use this euphemism, a gain of function. That's what they call it, a gain of function when they weaponize something like the H5N1 avian bird, the bird flu. I mean, they make it much more deadly. It's a gain of function.
This same Dr. Mengele at U Wisconsin Kawako, who's on the press release, also is involved in so-called gain of function.
Yeah.
Which means species jumping. And indeed, he tested out this H5N1 on ferrets to see if they could jump from one to the other, because for these purposes of flu, ferrets are akin to human beings. So it's very clear what he was doing there. Yes.
So what do you make of this? I mean, we have the it's not just the bioweapons labs that are there, but we've also created AFRICOM just back in 2007. It's something that the American government never had before. A tremendous number of military bases there. Of course, we know that Africa is very, very rich in mineral resources, even though the countries are poor. We had the Bilderberg Group in 2013 in the UK were saying that the big item on their list was Africa. I mean, is this some kind of neocolonialism that they're looking for in that area as we see them moving in there with research, with military bases, focusing now on Africa?
Yes, of course. The troops being sent over there have no training in medical treatment of anyone. The 101st Airborne is an elite invasion force, and so is the case for the Marines. There are now 250 Marines over there, and they've already moved the headquarters, the 101st Airborne, over there. So I think what we are seeing is AFRICOM finally moving into Africa. As you know, their headquarters had only been in Germany because they couldn't find anywhere in Africa, although Liberia had offered to serve as their headquarters. So I think this is being used as a pretext to for AFRICOM to establish a base there in Liberia. And, you know, we could see the whole 101st Airborne Division in there soon enough. I think that's why they moved the division headquarters there to Liberia, right.
And that's a point that you made. Why send in the 101st? They're not known for being a medical relief or a construction division. Why would they move them in?
Right. The same way with the Marines. You know, yeah. 101st Airborne and the Marines are not trained to heal people. They are elite invaders.
Yeah.
They go in, they invade land, kill anyone that gets in the way, and then they hold that land. My dad was in the Marine Corps in World War II. He invaded Saipan, Tinian, and Okinawa. And that's what the Marines do. They go in there, they kill anyone in their way, and then they continue marching out.
Well, give us some hopeful words here. I mean, you wrote the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. It was passed unanimously by both houses of Congress. And yet we see still weapons development and bioweapons development very, very active within the U.S. government. And, of course, it's been there from the very creation of the CIA. Anybody that doesn't know the history of that, of Operation Paperclip, you need to go back and take a look at a terrible mistake. It's about the death of a CIA scientist. And that will give you a very good background of the kind of heinous war criminals that were brought in at the beginning of the CIA as they transferred from the OSS to the CIA. This is something that's been going on for a long time, Dr. Boyle. How do we get control of this?
Well, David, I think, first of all, we have to get control of the immediate emergency facing the American people, because even the people in Dallas have admitted there will be more Ebola infections, and I think they know what they're talking about.
Yes.
So only way we're going to do this is to break through this wall of silence about what really happened here.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much, Dr. Boyle, for joining us. Join us.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
experts are clear. Sunlight, purified water, healthy non-GMO food, and having a good attitude is essential to a healthy immune system. But I go further with Super Nation Iodine X2 from InfoWarsLife.com. 50% stronger than our original and revolutionary Nation Iodine formula, coming from a deep earth crystal source that no other supplier has. Most other forms of iodine come from seaweed in areas plagued by Fukushima and other contaminants. Not our iodine. It comes from over 200 million year old crystal salt deposits and is tested and proven to be completely pure. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today. See the informational videos. Read the information there compiled. And for a limited time, when you use promo code NOW at checkout, you get an additional 5% off the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products. Secure your Survival Shield X2 today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.